Our Bible reading tonight is in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're not abandoning Revelation 22, but we're going to read this chapter. We will make some references to it later tonight. So let's read the Lord's Word, 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and the unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher here at the microphone to bring you the message of God's Word today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. I was just asked today by a listener, why do we call our church Free, F-R-E-E, before the Presbyterian? Well, the Presbyterian Church in Canada has been around
a long time. It really goes back to pioneer times when people of Scottish and Presbyterian ancestry came and settled in this land. But unfortunately, in recent times, the Presbyterian Church in Canada has become, well, back in 1950s, ecumenical. They were involved in the World Council of Churches. They imbibed modernism and the liberalism of this day. And so when our denomination came on the scene, we called it the Free Presbyterian. We are a separate body. We are a band of gospel preaching, Christ-centered churches seeking to take the message of the Bible and of salvation to the ends of the earth by God's grace. And so we invite you to be a regular listener here on Let the Bible Speak, as day by day we bring the message to you. And I hope that the Lord will stir your heart through the message today in Revelation chapter 22. We're coming to the final section of the book and to the wrap-up, but it's filled with exhortations and invitations. And I hope that your heart will be stirred today to draw near to the Lord and seek Him with all your heart. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
We're back to Revelation 22 this evening. And I hope you have marked in your Bible the three places where the Lord says, I come quickly. That was the wrap-up of our message last Sunday evening. And we got to the place how the Lord would fulfill all the promises and all the statements of bringing us with new bodies into a new heaven, into the enjoyment of enjoying the water of life and to eat of the tree of life. And we talked about the satisfaction that that would bring, and then that we would behold the face of our Savior, and that would be heaven. Wonderful, wonderful heaven, just to sit before the throne and gaze upon the Lord. And then we ask the question, how is this going to happen? And the Lord says in this chapter, behold, I come quickly. Three times. You find that in verse 7, in verse 12, and in verse 20. I come quickly. Now, none of these promises and pictures describing heaven would be worth the paper they're written on if the Lord was not coming again to fulfill this personally. For then, the law of the world would just continue on and on as it is. There would be no real end. There would be no wrap-up at all. But all the events of Revelation are made absolutely sure by this announcement. Three times in this closing chapter of the Bible, in these last 15 verses, behold, I come quickly. And so there will be the resurrection of the saints, and we will enter into heaven with new bodies. The seven trumpets will sound, and the seven vials of wrath shall be poured out upon the earth. Satan shall be cast into a lake of fire. And these things will happen when the Lord returns. And they are all predicated on the sure and certain return of the Lord Jesus. Now, this certainty is irrefutable, declared on these three statements. Behold, take note. And we are never to forget in our Christian walk, in our service here on earth, that the Lord is absolutely coming. Now, you'll notice in verse 20 that the word surely is used here in our English Bible. Surely I come quickly. This is more sure than the rising of the sun on Monday morning. You would not have a doubt today that tomorrow morning the sun is going to rise. As a Christian, you should have no doubt whatsoever that this is going to happen. Now, some ask, how after 2,000 years can we possibly say that the Lord will come quickly? And how could the Lord have said that when he knew that he was not coming for such a considerable time? And they ask, as we read in 1 Peter 3, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were, and there is no sign whatsoever that anything is coming to an end. So how can you lay hold on this word quickly and still hold on to this promise? Well, the word quickly here may mean three things. It may mean that the Lord will come hastily, secretly, and unstoppably. And it really means all three of them. He is going to come as a thief in the night. There will be no cue. There will be no alarm will go off. Firstly, the thief sneaks in. He seeks to enter with stealth. And likewise, the Lord shall come, and it will be unstoppable. So how is he coming quickly? Well, let me introduce you to a little bit of Greek here tonight. Now, we have a Greek student with us here, and he can, I hope, verify some of these things that I am wanting to share with you tonight, because I want to confess that a week ago, Friday, Saturday, I was what you call in preacher's turmoil. I was wrestling with certain things in this chapter, and I was wondering how to take them, how to understand them, and then, of course, how to preach them. And you can understand that if you're not settled on just the reality of the meaning, how are you going to preach it? And so I was in preacher's purgatory. I was ruminating and going over and wonder, how can I find this? And I looked up my eSword concordance on my computer, and there is a Greek text version on that, and I parsed the word, I come, and it said that it was passive. And, well, how could that apply? And as it's translated here, behold, I come quickly. How could that be in the passive tense? And I was scrambling. I was puzzled. And so I didn't preach it last Sunday. And we wrapped up with that last Sunday evening. And then I had my eureka moment. I had that time when the light came on, because I went to my Greek textbook and I discovered that there is a thing in the Greek called a deponent. Now, it doesn't mean much to any of us here tonight, really, but it is a device in the Greek language, and it's also in the Latin language, it's in Sanskrit and several languages in the world, where the passive, spoken passive, but it really means active. Now, it's confusing, but our translators got it. They knew what they were doing when they translated this from the Greek language into this term, I come quickly. The Lord is actively engaged in coming. He is now busy preparing to come. It reminded me of that statement of General MacArthur when he left the Philippines in 1942. It was March. The Japanese were taking over, and they were thankful to get out of there. There was a blockade on the coast, and they took to these particular little fast vessels, and they broke through, and they got out of there. And General MacArthur's promise to the Philippines, I came through and I shall return. That was March 1942. Well, he didn't arrive back to liberate the Philippines from the tyranny of the Japanese until March 1945. And I'm sure there are many stories of the horrors and the long waiting to be liberated. And I'm sure there were times when people thought, are they ever coming? Maybe we've been abandoned. But we know that during that time that there were continual preparations being made. There was a rebuilding and a new plan to take those islands back and liberate the people. Now, tonight, the Lord is preparing his return. And he's doing it actively. He's coming quickly. He's fully engaged in his program. And of course, he is building his church. And he is working in building his kingdom. And his program is on the go. He is fulfilling all of his covenant promises, and one of them is that this gospel shall be preached on into all the world, and the nations of the world will hear the gospel. Now, that is a very big statement, and one that is, I would say, we've never seen a time when the nations of the world are receiving the gospel more than at this present time. With the aid of internet, methods of deciphering languages, and publication of languages, the digital age, it's like Gutenberg all over again to get the publishing of the Word of God into the nations of the world. And the Lord is building his church. He's saving his elect people. In AD 1, that is at the turn of BC to AD, it is estimated that there were 300 million people in all of the world. That's about the population of the United States in all of the world. And so you can understand that tonight there are more born-again Christians in the world than probably at any other period in the history of this world. The Lord is building his church. He is saving the multitudes for whom Christ died. Remember, in heaven there's going to be a great multitude that no man can number. And that program is going on right now. So don't dare say, is the Lord coming back? When will this happen? And of course, we're reminded there in Revelation or 1 Peter 3 that a thousand years is as one day with God. And so in his program, he is coming. Now tonight, we're coming to Revelation 22 and verse 6, and we're going to see here that God has a word for the scoffers, the deniers, those who question the promise of his return. And if you look in this verse, you will see that God reinforces his own promise, and he ratifies his revelation. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Now, here John is taking down dictation. John is the author of this, but only in the sense that he took down what was given him to write. He was the messenger, the pen man that took down the message. And these are not the human thoughts of John. They are the words that were given by God, and you'll notice, by the angel of the Lord. Verses 6 and 7 are a quotation of what was said to John. Now you'll see that this is ratified by declaration. This is no casual note. This is no little comment on the side of a memo. This is a royal statement for the benefit of all who will read this book of Revelation. These sayings are faithful and true. Let it be laid out there on the public record And God puts his own reputation on the line as he gives his own word. They are faithful, just as God is faithful. They are true, just as God is true. They are true. Another little key to a Greek word. This word true in the Greek language has a negative prefix. And the word is the word hidden. And then you put a negative A in front of it. It's not hidden. It's true. It's open. It's on the table. It's God acting, revealing transparently to open to his people the program and the plan that he has. And so this is God's truth. God's truth. And he owns this truth. Now, you've probably heard politicians jump on the bandwagon of relativism, and they will talk about speaking my truth. And you know what that means. It's their version of things. It is what their perspective is, or the side of the story that they want to tell, but it doesn't mean that you get all the truth. And it comes up with this relative idea that what's true to you is not necessarily true to someone else. Well, a very shrewd politician said, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Facts are facts. They are unchangeable. And so what God is giving here is absolute truth. And praise God tonight, there is absolute truth. We do not have to just say, well, that's that version, another version. This is God speaking absolute truth. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself is the truth. That's why you need to listen. That's why you need to take his word to heart. That's why we need to stand upon his word, feed on it, live on it, and die on it, because it is the absolute truth. You'll notice here too that it's also ratified by inspiration. There is a reference here, and the Lord God of the holy prophets. Now this puts the book of Revelation on the same high plane as any other inspired scripture. In 2 Peter 3, we read there about Peter referring to the scriptures written by the Apostle Paul. And Peter recognized Paul's letters as scripture, as inspired. And they were as other scripture writings. And here we have something similar. We have this book of Revelation. It is the God of the holy prophets who's given this word, and he has given it by inspiration. Now, inspiration is a marvelous miracle. It is God speaking through men, moving them to write the truths, the actual words given by the Holy Spirit, and putting those words on paper. It is an amazing process. It's a miracle. And we read of holy men moved to write the word of God. And that is the process that God uses. And that's what happened here in Revelation. God gave John the things to write. Now, if you got our church email this week, and if you hit on that little line that talked about the statue of John the Apostle, it would have taken you to our website, and you can see a statue of John the Apostle. And it is now located in Copenhagen. And there was a kind of a historian called Thor Walsden who accumulated all these artifacts and of John the Apostle. And if you look at that picture, you will see John the Apostle, and he is standing with one arm like this with a tablet. Now, it's not an iPad. It's probably a slate. And he's got the pen or chalk in the other hand, and he's looking up to heaven. And the impression is that he will not write a word that he's not given by God. He's waiting for the words to be given. And that's the faithful posture of a scripture writer. He will not write his own words. He is waiting for God to move him or speak to him, and he records the things that God gives him. And that's what we have here in this book of Revelation. And by that means, it is ratified. In the verse 6, you'll also see that it is ratified by an angel. And you will see that the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely come to pass. Now, in other parts of the Bible, angels were involved in giving the scriptures. In Mount Sinai, when Moses was writing, angels were involved. They are the Lord's messengers. And here again, in this final book of the Bible, this revelation is given to John. There is an angel giving the message. Now, how do you trust angels? How do you know that they're going to give you the proper record? Well, I can prove to you that you can trust this angel. Because momentarily, John had a lapse of thought. And he would have worshipped this angel. He would have fallen at the feet of this angel and offered worship. And what did the angel do? Don't do it. Worship God. Now, John was wrong. And we're going to have a hard time figuring out why did John get that wrong. Some suggest that there was so much light and glory in his eyes, he could not distinguish between the angel and the Lord. But however he got it wrong, the angel got it right. Because he refused to be worshipped by John. Angels are creatures too. Angels are not to be worshipped. And he would give all the glory to God. And so this angel can be trusted. And here, as he gives this message to John, it is verified. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.